Welcome. It's Thursday night, and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollerin, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening. My name is Brenda McCoy, also known as Lady Brenda, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, Andrew Paquette, the author of Dreamers, will be here to talk about psychic dreams. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Maureen, how are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, Brenda. Thank you for asking. And how are you?
You know, it's nice and cool in the house, and when I step outside, it's like going onto another planet, like Mars.
Oh,
so
I know.
Freaking hot. Oh,
I know.
Wow.
I know, but we're not complaining, really. We're not.
Yeah, not at all.
We're just making a fact.
That's right.
Yes.
So, Maureen, tell us a little bit about what you do.
Okay, well, I'm a psychic intuitive consultant, and I work with my co-host at psychicaccess.com, and I'm well versed in the tarot, and I just kind of pull everything together, and with my I'm not going to go into all the C stuff that I have going on. C's. And I help, you know.
Clear this.
You know what? It gets really ridiculous.
Blah, blah, blah.
I know. So I know. But haven't you noticed people go on to see? I mean, I'm clear.
I know. Clear this and clear that.
I just want to roll it all off. They should, you know, put it in shorthand wording or something. Anyway, I am not a fortune teller, but I help people in the direction, and I love my work. I love my work.
I think we all love it. You know, the ups and the downs, or we wouldn't be doing it. It's got to be in your heart to be a psychic. Don't you believe
that? Absolutely. There are some people that are not out there doing this kind of work. There's a lot of different other people in other positions as well doing their life's work. But yes, I agree. As it makes it all that better.
Well, thank you, Maureen.
Thank you.
Steve, how are you this evening? Steve? I don't know if he's back from dinner. Well, let's move on to Bobby. Bobby, how are you doing?
Oh, Bobby by default.
Well, it wasn't really meant to be that way. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous, fabulous.
Are you? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Tell us about what you do. We want to know.
Psychic medium and also a coach of sorts, I guess. I enjoy teaching law of attraction type things and lessons that, you know, we kind of all go through and helping somebody find their own way and getting that own passion. And, you know, other people's success is just what really gives me a lot of passion. So that's a bit about what I do. I use my abilities or talents to do that, to kind of point that out in people and help them along the way a bit.
Yes, and he does a fabulous job. I can personally attest. I've seen him in action.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Okay, now, Steve, are you there? Hello, Steve. Well, I guess Steve isn't back from dinner. I don't know if we should wait.
He says he was speaking, but he may be.
You're not going to like imitate. You're not going to be Steve tonight.
No. I could if you want. He could type out. See, here's what, he just typed something out. I am here, but I'm not sure why you can't hear me.
He says, "Do my accent, Bobby."
And he just typed that out. Yeah, he says, "Do my accent, Bobby." Okay, so
here's what he says. You're channeling him.
Very happy to be here, he says.
Bobby is a what?
Bobby is a wonderful guy, he types out.
He's a wonderful guy. Oh, that was funny.
Wow. Okay.
So Steve will be typing out his comments and I shall be reading them.
That's
interesting.
Right. Chokes on his boiled egg. No, I'm kidding.
Yes.
Okay. Well, a little bit about our guest tonight. Our Andrew Paquette first dreamed of the future when he was able to avert a mugging that possibly saved his life. Over the course of the next 20 years, he kept meticulous records of his dreams, discovering in the process that future dreams are not only possible, but they are common. Even more importantly, because of their quantity, he was able to see that his dreams were not just isolated events, but remembered snatches of a continuum of existence shared by everyone. In his book, he destroys the myth of what dreams are and how they are described, what they mean, and why they are or are not important, like a psychic detective. Andrew shares compelling dream life stories with us as he wends his way through to discovering the nature of his dream life and its hidden messages relating to both simultaneous real time and the future. With the author and his work, and in his book, we begin to see that his strong intuitive abilities are developing and manifesting through the venue of his dreams. Of particular fascination is Paquette's initiation into contact with ghosts and spirits of the deceased, raising intriguing speculation into the existence and nature of an afterlife, as well as the potential for other realms of existence beyond our own. And you can read more about his book at mundusvirtua.com. Good evening, Andrew. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, and good evening to you as well.
It must be pretty late in the Netherlands, huh?
Yeah, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. It is so I've got to keep my windows shut so that I don't make too much noise for our neighbors, I suppose.
Oh my goodness. Well, this is just. We've been anxiously awaiting this show. People are so fascinated by their dreams. I wanted to ask you, when is the first time that you can recall having a psychic or prophetic dream?
Well, probably the first one that was psychic. Of course, at the time, I was a young person who didn't believe that this stuff was possible. But I think probably the earliest occurrence of one that I now think was psychic was an out-of-body experience I had when I was maybe 8 years old. Actually, I had a couple around that time, but the one that really sticks in my mind was I had read about 10 pages of a book. My mom sent me to bed. I didn't want to go to bed. And then I dreamed that I read the rest of the book. And when I woke up, I was thinking, I couldn't possibly have done that. But then I checked, and everything that was in there going from the back of the book forward matched what I remembered from the dream. So I was thinking, well, I guess I don't need to finish the book. So I just brought it back to the library. And then probably, I had some things happen while I was awake, too, that were pretty weird. I mean, I had a reputation among my friends at that time for being abnormally lucky when it came to using dice and things. And this isn't actually a dream, but it got to the point where once I got into a backgammon game and I predicted all the rolls, which was, I think, around 40, 45 turns, something like that, until the guy I was playing against got really upset and he was saying, how are you doing this? And then he threw the whole board into a plate glass window and it bounced.
Oh, my goodness.
Up. But I, at the time, I was just thinking, you know, I was lucky. And then when I started getting to think maybe it was something else, I was about 17 or 18 years old, living in Portland, Maine, when I dreamt of the ghost of my cat screaming at me, why did you let them kill me? And he was really, really upset. And I had no idea what was going on. As far as I knew, the cat was alive. A couple weeks later, I happened to mention it to my dad, and he said, it turned, because I was living in an apartment at the time going to college, and he said that on the night of my dream, that cat was actually euthanized because he had feline leukemia. And I remember at the time thinking, huh, that's kind of a funny coincidence. But, you know, I didn't really want to put two and two together in order to find out that I was dreaming about a genuine after-death communication from the ghost of a pet. I mean, I wasn't at that time willing to admit that we even have spirits, let alone animals having spirits. Not that I understand today why there should be any difference, but at the time, mm-hmm. you know, there was a very big difference in my mind between humans and all other forms of mammalian life. In any event, and then when I had this dream that you mentioned briefly in your introduction.
We want to hear about that. Yes.
Well, that was actually a pretty powerful dream. I mean, I'd had more powerful ones earlier about going to heaven-like places, which, again, I discounted because I was an atheist at the time. I thought it was really weird to be dreaming about that kind of thing. But when I was 19 years old, my girlfriend and I, now, of course, we've been married for 25 years, but at that time we hadn't been married yet. We'd gone to Amsterdam and some other parts of Europe for a summer trip, and I liked it, so I stayed for the whole summer. She didn't like it as much as I did, so she left, went back to New York. So I was there by myself when I had this extraordinarily vivid dream that I was walking down this certain street that I rarely ever walked on, and these two guys came up behind to me, one from behind me and the other on my right, flanking me. And they, you know, the one guy grabbed me around my neck, and they basically pushed me, while acting in a friendly way, into this alley, which is about 100 yards ahead. And then they pulled out this gun, and during an altercation there, and I'm going to be really brief because I don't want to take all night describing this one dream, I was shot and killed. And I felt my spirit leave my body and then go all the way to New York and look down on my girlfriend. And
wow.
I was thinking, I guess this is what it's like to be dead. And this is, I didn't know what an out-of-body experience was, and I didn't know what a near-death experience was, but that's exactly what I was having inside the dream. And I just saw her, you know, drinking tea in her mom's dining room there. And I was trying to get her attention, and she wouldn't pay any attention to me. And I was like, well, I guess that's just what it's like. And I was wondering what I was going to do next. So I was just kind of looking at the ceiling, thinking about that, when I recognized this color that was reflected onto the ceiling. This kind of pink color. It was similar to the color of my ceiling in Amsterdam, because there's a sign outside that had a light on it. And then I realized I was sitting up in my bed, and my eyes were wide open, and had been open, looking at my own ceiling, thinking I was dead. It was that powerful.
Wow.
So I was thinking, well, that was kind of a crazy dream. Now, just so you and your viewers listeners understand, I'm a very straight, sort of a Boy Scout kind of a guy. I was living in Amsterdam, but it had nothing to do with the wide availability of illicit substances or anything
like
that.
Well, I was going to ask you that, but then I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's okay. I have never had anything to do with that kind of thing. I don't drink. I just drink water and like fruit juice and stuff. And anyway, so I was thinking I must be really getting pretty lonely out here. I've got to come back. So I called up my girlfriend in New York, and I said, I've got to come back. And so we made arrangements. And 2 weeks later, I had withdrawn all my money from the bank, which is like $1,600. And I went to the travel agent and got my one-way trip to New York, or ticket rather. And then to get home from that travel agency, I had to walk down that street from my dream. But I wasn't thinking about that when I did it. And I wasn't thinking about the fact that these guys might have seen me withdraw all my money in cash at the bank at a time when dollars were worth 3 guilders apiece, which is basically triple the buying power of the guilder. And so that was the equivalent of carrying like 5,000. You could buy a brand new car for that much money back then. Anyway, so as I was walking down the street, this guy comes up from behind me, and another one flanks me, grabs me from around my neck, and starts bringing me down the street. And I'm like, and they're trying to pretend like they're friendly, but they're absolutely total strangers, great big muscular guys, and I'm a tiny little shrimpy. I'm kind of proportioned like a real monkey. Okay, I mean real long, thin arms and that kind of thing. And so these guys really have me overpowered, and I'm thinking, well, it's funny, the street's the same, the people on the street look the same, the sky looks the same, the weather looks the same, the guy's arm around my neck, I can't get out, that's the same, guy's flanking me, that's the same, street's the same. But I was like, but there's no alley on this street, so I'm fine, this is just my imagination playing tricks on me, because remember, I still don't believe that this kind of thing is possible. Mm-hmm. But then I see there is an alley. I'm like, oh my gosh, because it was all covered up with scaffolding the whole time I'd been there, because I'd only been in Amsterdam for maybe two and a half months, something like that. And and the scaffolding had been covering up that alley the whole time. And now it was down. I could see there really was an alley there, exactly where it was in my dream. And I was like, oh, for Pete's sake. And I was thinking, you know, I don't believe in this stuff, but why take a chance? So I was trying to figure out how I could get away from this guy, because they're talking about my money. They want to know how much money I had on me, whether it was in American dollars and all this, and basically prelude to getting my money. And I thought, okay, they're talking to me like they're assuming I'm an American with lots of cash. I'm going to pretend to be Dutch. And I figured it might work because they weren't Dutch either. They were speaking in really broken English that sounded like they were from someplace like Haiti or something, not the Netherlands. So I spouted off a bunch of nonsense Dutch, which confused them just enough. The guy relaxed. And I was like, that was all the opening I needed. I slipped out of his arm, ran across the street. They dashed off in the other direction. Now, the thing is, I figured, well, I didn't get shot, I didn't get killed, I didn't have a near-death experience, so I won't count that, okay? But on the other hand, I have never in my life had anyone do that before, and everything in the entire dream matched perfectly until the moment when I decided I'm changing this. So I told my girlfriend about that when I got to New York, and she was like, that was your dream, that was your dream. And I was like, no, you're imagining things. So it took another couple of years, I think, before I finally got convinced. And the one that really nailed it for me, strangely enough, wasn't the winning lottery numbers, or to put it another way, the losing lottery numbers dream I had. It was a dream I had about the Ramstein Air Show disaster, which some people may or may not remember from, I think it was 1987, 1988. In my dream, this guy came up to me, and at the time I didn't recognize these people who would come up to me and say, let me show you something as a spirit guide, but today I think that's about the most appropriate way to describe these figures. But this guy came up to me and he said, come with me, I have something to show you. And the next thing I knew, he'd brought me to basically this position in midair someplace, and he pointed to a bunch of jets that were flying by, and he said, watch those two planes. And I saw these jets get real close to each other, and then their wingtips just barely touched, but it sent both of them spinning out of control, and they exploded into all these spinning, flying, flaming pieces. And then I saw that one of these jets was going straight for, or the wreckage anyway, was going straight for all these reviewing stands. And I was thinking, holy cow, there's like people watching these planes, and there's like hundreds and hundreds of people there. And it went right into the reviewing stands, and I saw like people being spontaneously amputated by all these flying pieces. It was disgusting. And it was like there were just hundreds and hundreds of people who were hurt in this thing, and a lot of them were killed. So, and it was a very, very powerful image. So I woke up from that, and I had a hard time getting it out of my mind. I told my wife about it, or my girlfriend, I think we married later, but anyway. She went to work, and I just couldn't get it out of my mind. 2 weeks later, I'm doing my illustration work in the area that I had set aside for that. The TV was on when this special breaking news report came on about the Ramstein Air Show disaster. It looked identical to my dream. It was these Italian Air Force jets were doing trick maneuvers at Ramstein Air Show base for an air show when a couple of their wings touched each other, and one of them went spinning out of control, blew up, and fell in a zillion pieces into a crowd of people in the reviewing stands. And it injured something like 475 people or so, and 66 were killed. But that was it. And the thing is that, you know, I can imagine a skeptical person saying, oh, yeah, but all plane crashes look alike. And my answer to that would be, okay, but all plane crashes don't involve two planes, and all plane crashes that involve two planes don't also involve reviewing stands, and of those that might, the planes don't always land in the reviewing stands. I thought that was – it's kind of asking a lot to have all those factors in the same place by coincidence alone. But really on a visceral level.
How does that make you feel? I mean, you know, it's like when you have a psychic dream and it's so vivid like that, you were able to avert the first disaster. And then this, you know, it's like a blessing and a curse at the same time. Don't you agree?
Well, I've had people ask me if I feel a responsibility about this. But it's actually a very, very complicated question, because I've had situations where I really wish I'd said something, and other situations glad I didn't. And yet others, I really wish I had, but I did anyway.
Oh, no!
So my default position these days is I tend to try to avoid saying anything unless I feel a really strong reason that I should. And that I'll give you an example of each of those three just so you get an idea.
Question. You actually took it out of my mouth because I was going to ask you what the difference was, but you thought between a psychic dream and a regular dream.
Okay, that's a different question. But let me explain the examples I gave you, and I'll get into that in just a second.
Okay.
So the first example of a time when I didn't say something, I really, to this day, feel bad about it. It was not a dream. It was a waking impression. What happened is I just met this guy at an ashram I was going to for, I lived at for about 3 weeks, and we found out we had a mutual interest in chess, and so we'd arranged to play chess when I got back to New York City from the ashram, and we found out that we lived just a couple blocks away from each other, which made it even more convenient. It was terrific. So we played chess a couple times, and then he said he wanted to bring his girlfriend over for dinner, and I was like, yeah, sure, sounds like fun. So anyway, at the appointed time, on the appointed day, our doorbell rang. I went over to the door, and as soon as I put my hand on the doorknob, I knew that the woman on the other side was going to commit suicide. I hadn't seen her face. I didn't know anything about her except she was this guy's girlfriend. But I just knew it for a fact. There was no doubt in my mind at all, and I knew that the woman on the other side was this guy's girlfriend because that's who we were expecting. So I opened the door, and of course it was Richard and this girl, Sumi, and basically that impression kind of, I forgot about it as soon as I was, they were in and we were talking. And so we had dinner and they left. And after they left, my wife was kind of complaining about her because she thought she was being kind of, how should I say this? Well, she wasn't being too nice to me. She felt like she was being kind of snobbish. And it just popped out of me. I said, you shouldn't say things like that about people who are going to commit suicide. And my
you
wife,
said that? Oh, my goodness.
She was like, what on earth? Why did you say that? And I was kind of surprised because it was like until that moment, I hadn't really been thinking about it. And then I told her about that impression I had when I'd opened the door. I said, well, you know, when I went over to the door, I had this really strong feeling she's going to kill herself. And at that time, I didn't even believe in that stuff. I thought it was impossible to have a real premonition. And you know, there's no way she can say something to that. I mean, if somebody says you can't say that somebody's going to commit suicide, what are you going to say to that? She felt like I was being really unfair in an argument. Anyway, so the thing is that sometime after that, I started thinking, you know, I started noticing my dreams did seem to be happening, and I started wondering if maybe I should tell that guy. But I wasn't really sure, and I felt like, you know, he's a scientist, he's a physicist, he's real skeptical about all this kind of stuff. If I told him, he wouldn't believe me, and if he said anything to her, for all I knew, even if neither one of them believed me, she might take it as an excuse to actually do it. So I was worried about that, too. Not just that he wouldn't believe it or that he'd think, oh, this guy's a weirdo, I don't want to be friends and play chess with him anymore, but also that I was worried legitimately that she might take it as an encouragement to do something like that, as a, you know, kind of a validation of any feelings she might have had. Not that she expressed anything that would make me think that, because, you know, in the conversation at dinner, she seemed normal. But anyway, a year later, she did jump out of a building and kill herself.
She jumped out of a building? That's pretty brutal. That's pretty intense. Wow.
Newspaper time. Really nasty. But in any event, the thing is that I always felt bad about that, especially because it must have been a week or two before she jumped. Richard called me, and I didn't know this, but he had actually proposed marriage at the time, so she was his fiance at that point. But he called me from Switzerland where he was staying, and I'd had a bad back, and he says, why don't you go over to our apartment and pick up my cane? He had his back injured, and then you can chat with me, and it'd be fun for her to talk to one of my friends just because I've been in Switzerland for so long while working on this project. I didn't want to do it because it felt awkward, and frankly, she kind of annoyed me too. So I didn't do this. So it felt really, really bad. So later on, I had a dream about the same guy with another woman who he wound up marrying getting into a bad auto accident. In the dream, they were in a van driven by somebody else going to upstate New York, and they got into a really bad car wreck. So I was concerned, and I called him. I said, "Well, Richard, for what it's worth, here." And I told him the dream. And although he doesn't put much stock in that kind of stuff, this woman he was with, who he's now married to, did. And she said, "You know, we were arranging to go upstate New York with a guy who was going to drive us in his van." And so they already knew that all those elements of what my dream was about were correct. So they pulled out of that and made other arrangements for their trip. And the guy did get into an accident, but not with them. So that's where saying something actually helped. But in other cases, I've well, one in particular that I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because of the people involved. They, just so you know, this concerns a relative of mine who absolutely does not believe in psychic stuff and hates to be connected to any of these things. So I'm not going to mention names or anything. But I had a dream that something bad was going to happen to her, and I happened to mention it. And you know, nothing happened, but it just worried her unnecessarily. So I feel like, you know, maybe I really need to, you know, watch out what I say. So because sometimes they do happen, but it's really hard to know when they will and when they won't. And my impression is sometimes that what I'm looking at, and I really hate to go into theory here, because I'd rather talk about what I see and what happens, and you can just make up your own mind. But sometimes I have the impression that just like I had a choice with that Amsterdam dream of the mugging, I could have gone through with the event as it played out in the dream, or I could change it by changing my behavior, that there are these divergent paths. And maybe I'm seeing, you know, multiple, you know, scenarios, some of which will happen and some won't, depending on the energy that's put into those scenarios. So anyway, those are the examples I wanted to give. And I'm sorry, I forgot your question. What was it?
Okay. Well, you know, it's kind of along the lines. It's kind of, we would segue into what we're talking about anyhow. You know, if you go with the theory that these dreams are given to you as a warning so that you can make a choice, how do you feel, since you've done extensive dream diaries and examined, you know, the realm of dreams, how would you explain, you know, how you can tell a difference between a psychic dream or something that's just merely symbolic, or you're kind of like working through some sort of stress in a dream and all, like it seems like a bunch of nonsense.
Well, you know, the funny thing about that is I'm embarking on an enormously complicated, time-consuming study on exactly that subject so I can write a paper about it. I just learned how to write peer-reviewed papers for academic journals, and I got my first two in. I'm thinking, oh, that was kind of fun. I'll do some more. Let's break that question down into a couple of pieces. First off, when I started this, I wouldn't say I could tell the difference between a psychic dream and one that wasn't. I just could tell the difference between one that was extremely vivid and one that wasn't, as I think anyone would be able to. And the quality of being vivid was enough to set it apart. But I later found out that when I was assiduously keeping track of these things in my journals, I found that many more were vivid than I had expected, and that at a certain point, the level of vividity was more a reflection of how well rested I was than the dream itself. Do you see what I'm saying there? So at that point, the level of vividity actually was canceled out as a factor that would identify it as a psychic dream.
Explain that just a little bit more for our audience? I mean, if you're well rested, you feel that you didn't have such a vivid dream, or they were clearer if you were more well rested.
It was a combination of a few things, but a combination of meditation. I used to do a lot of yoga back then. A combination of getting to bed on time and, you know, sleeping a full 8 hours, and actually painting a lot seems to help for some reason. But those three things all together meant that just about all of my dreams became vivid for a while. So so what that meant was is that I couldn't meaningfully distinguish between dreams on the basis of whether they were vivid or not. Or that is to say, I couldn't say this is psychic because it's vivid and that one's not because it's not vivid, because like almost all of them were vivid. So so it was no longer a factor anymore. These days, now that I'm working really hard at a full-time job as a teacher, now that might be more factor, but at the time I started this, it really wasn't. But the thing I found that was a real breakthrough was that by making the assumption that I could verify a dream and then checking to see if I could verify it, I was able to verify a number of dreams. But what it also meant was I was also able to catch those kinds of meaningful errors that I would make. Like, for instance, my friend Richard and my uncle Tom, I used to get mixed up all the time, but I never got him mixed up with anybody else. I always got Richard mixed up with Tom and Tom with Richard, but not for any other person. And with a couple other people, I would do the same thing, but not with very many. So I would make like identification errors like that. And then what would happen is once I became aware of it, because I would check with Tom, did this happen to you? No. Check with Richard, did this happen to you? Yes. Okay. And in the dream, it's where Richard was living. So that makes sense. So that gives me a way for me to determine before I call for verification who the dream really belongs to. So if I think it's about one guy, but it's in the wrong place, then it's about the other guy.
Interesting. So, that's very interesting. So tell us a little bit more about the verification. Did you start that when you started like journaling? Did you kind of like check your notes and kind of verify like facts and stuff that you dreamt?
Well, yes and no. In the beginning, the whole thing started because my girlfriend at the time was telling me that I was dreaming about the future. And I thought that was just complete baloney, and I wanted to prove that to her. Now, a little after we had that particular conversation, I had had a couple more that seemed to be dreams of the future as well, and she was again telling me, you're dreaming about the future, and I was starting to think that she was right, but I felt like those dreams were so rare that it would be impossible to prove that these were anything other than just background noise occasionally matching things. But it seemed to me the only way to really prove that she was wrong one way or the other was to take a notebook off her shelf and start writing it all down. But the point was, I was just going to write down whatever I remembered, and then if it seemed to match something that happened later, I'd be checking it as if it was a precognitive dream, period. That was all. I was looking for, you know, do these images in this record match something that really happened after I wrote it, okay? And it started happening pretty quickly. I mean, I got verifications really, really fast. Strangely enough, one of the very first dreams in the journal, it was actually the third dream, got verified as precognitive, but something like 9 years later. So that was actually a variable that was really hard to control, although most of them tended to be verified very quickly, within a day or a couple of weeks at the most. But the thing that really changed things to a more aggressive form of investigation was a very, very strange phone call I had something like a couple months after I started the journal. Now, I am not exactly sure if I made the call or if this girl I knew from high school made the call. It was one or the other. She wrote in her affidavit, her like note to me that she signed and everything, that she was called by me. I thought it was the other way around, but it doesn't really matter for this story, so I'll just go on. So we were on the phone, and we were talking about something else when suddenly she said, so have you had any dreams about me recently? And I was thinking, what on earth? Why would I have any dreams about you? I don't know. But when I thought about it, because she was really insistent, she had kind of a strained tone in her voice, like it was important to her for some reason. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, and I thought about it, and I remembered that a couple weeks earlier I'd written something down that I thought reminded me of her. I didn't remember for sure, but I asked, you know, I said, how'd you like me to just go upstairs, grab my drink, and I'll find that specific dream that I'm thinking of right now, and I'll read it to you, and you just tell me if it makes any sense. How's that sound? She said, sure. So I was like, okay. So I went and I got the dream, and as I was reading it, as I was coming down the stairs from our loft, I was like, oh boy, this is disgusting. I don't want to tell her about it. But I get down, and I'm on the phone with her, and I'm like, all right, prepare yourself, because, you know, there was, and I told her this dream about basically a very sterile, you know, kitchen-like environment where there are these two people had this animal, I'm afraid, that was unrecognizable, as, you know, from a species point of view. It's, you know, it's about the size of a like a big guinea pig or a small, I don't know. I couldn't tell what it was. It was like a cat, and it looked like it could have been two animals because it was all messed up. It was all bloody, and yeah, the spikes of it were sticking up to the blood and everything. It was really gross. And then I see this thing being put down on a counter, and this woman in a smock, who I assumed was a cook, actually decapitated this animal with a knife.
Oh.
And then I saw this girl's face in this circular window looking in. It was those doors that goes both ways and has this glass that you can see through it. And she looked upset, and I thought that was this girl I knew. And I said, this dream make any sense to you? And in fact, it had. It did, because a couple weeks earlier than that, her cat had been hit by a car, was partially decapitated, was brought to the vet, and accidentally was completely decapitated by the vet. And,
oh my God.
Mm. So, but the thing is, the question that's burning, not really burning a hole in my skull, that would be painful, but the thing that was really on my mind the whole time I was talking to her was, why did you think I would have had this dream about you? Because I didn't understand why she would call me. And she said it was because she saw me in her room that night, that she was feeling really bad about the cat having died. And then she saw my face in her room, and I told her that the cat was okay. Now, I didn't remember anything like that in my dream journal, but I can't deny the fact that what I did have in my dream journal matched up with what happened to her, or cat, rather. And so I was thinking, oh, I might be dreaming about other people, because I hadn't thought of that. It didn't occur to me. I thought, if dreams are psychic at all, they're precognitive. I hadn't heard of any other kind of psychic dream. So
do you believe that they could be windows into other dimensions or planes of existence?
That came later. This, I later learned, was something called an out-of-body experience. Where I'm just seeing something remotely, but the thing that it opened up, which was really amazing to me, was this: that let's just say you're looking at 100 dreams, just to keep the number simple, right? And let's just say you've identified 15 or 20 of those as precognitive. Okay, what about the rest? Okay, they look the same, but they're not. They're junk somehow. And then you get this call from somebody saying, It basically proves to you that it's not junk, it's something else. And then when you look back at those 100 dreams, or the 85 that you haven't verified, you find out that a lot of them are about people you know. And when you start calling those people, you start finding out that those match up with things that they were doing. Okay.
Oh, that's amazing. That is very, very interesting.
Well, yeah, I imagine me being surprised.
Ooh, that's really, you know what, I'm going to try that. I think everybody else in the audience is going to try it too. Wow.
Now, and the funny thing is, I find those are easier to verify than just about anything. And the reason is because I think they tend to be dreams about what's happening to that person right then. So it's fresh in their mind. So if you call them right away, you can get it verified pretty easily. Now, it doesn't always work. I've had a hard time sometimes. Sometimes it hasn't worked at all. But of the ones I've checked, the number I've been able to verify is really high. I actually have the exact number written down, but it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 65% of all of those have been verified, which is a really high number. In fact, because it's over the halfway mark, it kind of makes me think that all of them are in some way more valid than anyone would have you believe it is, because it's just a dream.
Okay, you know what? We're going to pause just for 1 minute and do a commercial, okay? We'll be back in 1 minute.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
we back?
Okay, we're back with Andrew, and this fascinating talk about dreams. So what we're talking about, the connection between what's happening now in your dreams and dreaming about things as they're happening. And that, you know, I can relate with that because I had some of my early, what I consider psychic awakening dreams were things that as I was dreaming them, they were actually happening. And I actually verified them myself. So that makes a lot of sense.
Well, really yeah, does. I'm glad you found that out for yourself, too, because, you know, I my feeling is that a lot of people have this impression that dreams are nonsense, and because of that, they never even bother trying to verify them. It makes them inhibited in such a way that they really aren't going to try this, and that just serves to continue this wrong impression that the dreams have no real meaning. Whereas I find that's far from the truth. I personally feel that the world of psychology has really done a lot of people a huge disservice by telling them that dreams are something else entirely, that they're like repressed desires or something else that has nothing to do with any genuine experience. Because in my experience, oftentimes they really are genuine experiences that can be verified, although they go way beyond that. Before I get into that subject, though, I wanted to finish the other answer to the question you posed just before the break. Is that all right? Are you there?
Yes, please do. Yes, please do.
Okay. Yeah, so I was talking about how I learned that I was having these out-of-body experiences. And the thing about that was that it meant that I had a way to, you know, talk to somebody very soon after a dream and compare the elements so that I could see where things were wrong. Like one thing that used to happen all the time in these is that in my dream state, I would observe all this stuff that was going on in somebody's life, and I would try to interact with them. Now, I didn't do that in the one with Lisa, but I do it in a lot of these. And it's basically kind of a Jekyll and Hyde kind of a thing. It's like I'm who I am. I'm Andrew Paquette, version number one while I'm awake, and I'm version number two when I'm asleep, and it's slight personality differences and behavioral differences. So in version number two in the dream, I get really annoyed sometimes when people don't react to me. So if I say, hi, how are you, and they keep talking to each other, it can really annoy me. And I try to interact. I'll try to get their attention. I'll yell at them. I'll get angry. I'll assume that they're purposely ignoring me. I'll try to throw things, and I won't be able to grab anything. And it's very confusing. So the thing is that if I wrote that down and gave it to Dr. Freud or someone, you know, he'd say, ah, well, this is your feelings of helplessness or something. But then I call the person up who's involved and they say, oh, yeah, every single thing you mentioned happened except I didn't see you trying to throw coffee cups at me. So now I know it's a real experience and that the rest of it is just my invisible flailing about. So I understand the experience a lot better. And another thing that can happen, and this isn't super common, but it does happen, is that the person you're telling it to may not recognize the event because you don't describe it very well or because the event wasn't particularly significant to them. In one case, I had a dream that I was seeing this guy, an author I knew in Atlanta, and he was having a conversation with some guy in a parking lot, and the guy was telling him about how he'd have two of his cars crushed by falling tree branches in two separate incidents in the same week on different days. And they were different cars, but they were both owned by him. And he thought that was just an amazing coincidence of disasters. And as a dream, it was even more interesting to me. So anyway, I called up this guy, David, and I said, so does any of this sound familiar to you? And he's like, no, nothing like that ever happened to me. And I was like, no, David, I'm not saying it happened to you. I'm saying you talked to somebody recently about this. And he was like, I don't know about that. And I'm like, come on, think about this, because this is really strong. And he was like, oh, yes, of course. It was a guy he didn't even know. It was somebody who worked in the same building he worked in. He had an office there. And that morning in the parking lot, he happened to just have this very brief conversation with this guy. He told him exactly what I just had dreamed. So I managed to verify it, but I had to really talk to David for probably 5 or 10 minutes and get him to think about it before he really remembered the incident, because it wasn't personally meaningful to him. But frankly, as far as I'm concerned, you know, the value of those kinds of things is that it gives you enough information that you can actually realize that something real is coming through in a dream. I think that's the main thing that's valuable, because frankly, it doesn't really matter to me if, you know, this guy's had his two cars destroyed, some stranger I don't know about in Atlanta. But when I know that the dreams are meaningful, and then I have dreams about spirit guides coming to me with advice, then I start thinking, wait a minute, maybe I should listen. Maybe that advice isn't wrong. Maybe this isn't just my hyperactive imagination. Yes?
Oh, well, I didn't mean to interrupt you, honey. That just brought me to, and we talked a lot about these dreams that come to you, and you're you know, detailing them, and you're keeping track of them, and you're verifying them. But I had a question, and I know, you know, it's because you mentioned that you did a lot of meditation and that type of spiritual work. Do you believe in dream recall or dreaming at will? Were you ever led to explore that avenue of the dream states?
If I understand you correctly, no. And the other thing too is, although I did do a lot of yoga and I got very good at it. If you go look at my site, you'll see some of my yoga pictures. You'll see that I was kind of astonishingly good at this. I don't know how much it contributed. I know it contributed because it was at that period that this stuff was most intense in my life, when I was doing a lot of yoga and I was doing a lot of painting. But it is not the reason why, because I had psychic dreams before that, long before that. So it was always a part of my life. It's just that it got much more powerful when I was really doing this practice. The other thing is, I wasn't doing yoga so that I would have dreams about the future. I was doing yoga because, well, it came down to this very simple thing. This guy who worked at a health food store I worked at, named Ron Gilbert, since died of AIDS, rest his soul, he happens to find out that my back was hurting all the time, and he said, why don't you go do yoga? It'll help your back straighten out. In fact, actually, this is kind of an interesting story. I'll tell you real quickly. So I went to the Integral Yoga Institute on 13th Street, and they had these yoga classes there, and I'll tell you, the place really turned me off. I was as anti-religious as you get at that time in my life, and just the decor repelled me. I felt like a magnet with the wrong polarization walking into this place, because I was looking at what looked like religious colors on the walls, religious one kind or another, and clothing that looked like, you know, monks' robes and stuff. But I was like, oh, all right, Ron says I should give this a try. So I go in there, and I'm doing the yoga with everybody, and it's actually feeling pretty good. And then we do this deep meditation, and or what passes for it in an introductory class. I mean, how far can you get, right? So anyway, so we're doing this deep relaxation and then a meditation afterwards. And the person who's leading the group says, okay, now think about who you are and let that go, and think about who it is that's looking at you, controlling your body and letting all this stuff go, and then go up a couple more levels. And all of a sudden I realized with absolute certainty I had a soul. Which might seem kind of obvious to some people, but to other people it's not so obvious. And to me, it definitely wasn't obvious. I thought it was the other way around. But I knew for a fact during that meditation that I had a soul. And it was really an exciting moment for me. But that didn't mean I all of a sudden liked the religious colors and the monk's robes and everything. That kind of stuff really bugged me. So I basically tolerated that for the sake of the asana practice that I had there, because I really got into it. At one point I was doing 8 hours a day of yoga. I'd go
downtown.
Now that
is pretty interesting. Was that hatha yoga, or was it what type of yoga was it?
Well, it started out as hatha yoga. I do 2 hours at home, and then in the morning, and then I do another 4 hour set, and then I take the bus all the way down to the IYI, and I do another 2 hours there. On one of those trips, I actually passed by John Gotti's restaurant while he was being assassinated there. No, not John Gotti, but whoever it was that got killed on 2nd Avenue in a restaurant. But in any event, and that was all hatha yoga. But then I got, at a certain point, I was really, really good at it, and I just wasn't getting any challenge from them at all anymore. So then I started working out with a guy named Sam Dworkis, who taught Iyengar yoga. And then I also practiced with another guy named Dharma Mitra, who's fantastic, and he's still down in New York. He's, I think, in the Union Square area, if I recall properly. And he was fantastic. He had his own brand of yoga, which was kind of mm-hmm. I can't say it's as difficult as Iyengar yoga, but it's not the same kind. And then after a while, I also went to the I forgot what it was called, the Vivekananda Yoga Institute. They published a beautiful book of yoga photographs, but I didn't like their form because it had too many props. I thought it was kind of dangerous. So I went back to Hatha, because I really like it.
Well, Hatha is the stable thing, I think. I think most people that have been doing yoga most of their life always seem to end up going back to Hatha, I think.
Oh. Yeah, the thing with the Iyengar stuff, I mean, I trained myself to do all those kinds of really complicated, well, not everything, most of them.
So let me just ask you one thing, because you talked about through your yoga, you realized you had a soul, and do you feel that, like, I know there's a lot of people that feel this, that while you're sleeping, that your soul travels perhaps to other dimensions in which you see these things that are going to, you know, happen in the now or in the future? Or do you believe you pass through different dimensions? What is your belief on that?
Well, in a manner of speaking, from our limited point of view, I agree with what you just said. However, because I know my point of view is limited, I think that might just be a convenient way to describe something we don't understand. Because it seems to me that the way our soul or our mind works, it may not be necessary to literally travel. I mean, if there is no such thing as distance or physical dimension, then it's more a matter of refocusing our attention, in which case movement's not required. It might feel like seem like it, but it may not actually be, and it may not be spatial the way we think of things as spatial.
Oh, interesting. So what about, and we're almost to the end of the interview, which I'm totally bummed about, but we're getting to the end here, but I just wanted to ask you, you know, there's a lot of dream interpretation dictionaries out there and stuff. What is your view on that? Do you believe that you can actually, another person who writes a book can interpret your dreams, or do you think that it's mostly the only interpretation can come from a person and how they particularly and individually see things?
I'm really glad you asked that. My personal opinion of this is that something like a dream dictionary is completely without value. And there's a couple of reasons for it. One of them is I think that people who write them assume that basically dreams are made entirely of symbols, or they're almost always symbolic, or there are more symbols than actually exist. And then to say that all those symbols have a consistent meaning from person to person, I think it's completely ridiculous. You know, in my own study...
That was the point I was getting to. I'm glad you mentioned that. Yes.
Okay, well, I gave a talk on this at the International Association for the Study of Dreams Conference in Kerkrade, the Netherlands, last year. But in my study of my own journals, which covers 3,318 records, which is over 10,000 dream entries, I find very rare actual symbols, and those symbols are very, very clear. I mean, they're like as clear as a McDonald's logo. I mean, they're really easy to understand, and that's the reason. I mean, you make a symbol as a, and these aren't coming from me. They're coming from somewhere else. They're external, not internal, which is another thing that I think is a big difference between the way these dream dictionaries interpret things and the way I look at it, because they think that, or they seem to assume that everything that you see in a dream is a product of your own thoughts. Whereas I look at it as sometimes, yes, it's coming from yourself, and sometimes it's not. When I'm sitting there going to sleep and I'm thinking about a problem and it gets resolved in my dream, that might be myself solving the problem. But when I'm going to sleep and I have somebody tell me, come with me, I'm going to show you something, and he shows me some future event, that's not coming from me. That's coming from somewhere else. And then when I have a dream where a spirit guide comes to me and gives me a symbol and he says, you're going to wake up soon, it's going to be hard for you to remember this unless I package it this way in this very compact image. So here you go. I hope you remember this. I actually feel that that is a real separate spirit entity that's giving me this communication. And it's a better form of communication than giving it to me verbally, because it's harder to remember words from a dream than these images. So if you're looking at a dream dictionary, that means that if you had a symbol in your dream at all, it's not clear enough for you to understand it before opening up a book, and that means that it's probably not a symbol at all.
Ah, okay. Well, we've come, sadly, to the end of our interview, and Andrew, I wanted to thank you for joining us tonight. We really appreciate your work and your fascinating insights about psychic dreams. I want to wish you a good rest of the evening, and thank you for coming on the show.
That was my pleasure. Thank you very much, Brenda.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, you can find more information about Andrew's book Dreamer at www.mundusvirtua.com. That's MUNDUSVIRTUA.com. Or you can also find it on www.johnhuntpublishing.com. Okay, I want to take a moment to make a few announcements. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you are unable to catch last week's show on dark forces, you'll be able to find a recorded archive link as well as the archives of all of our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and families, because it's our objective to connect with as many of you as possible, so please share the link with others. Please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentically gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of our co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and if you'd like a personal reading from any of us, please be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. By the way, extra money, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit http://PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to The Psychic Viewpoint. There is something for everybody, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Now, the call-in number, which we're not ready for yet, but when we're ready for the free reading, is 724-444-4851. And I'm sure Maureen will zip over to the chat room and put that in. Yep, she beat me to it already. Okay, now for our little kibitzing, our bantering session. Maureen, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
What are your most memorable dreams about?
Well, you know, I've had what I call four. I mean, I remember my dreams, but I am also a sleepwalker. So I have, you know, he talked about how important it is to have sleep. And I've been sleepwalking all my life. And you don't get to that REM part where you can have your dreams. Well, it just doesn't work very well. But he was talking about when I being shot that time. And with my thing, and I've had visitation dreams from people that have died, and I've also had, I mean, that for sure goes on. It doesn't go on all the time throughout my life, but I have had those. And also I've had psychic dreams, but only two, actually one.
Oh,
I can remember.
Really interesting.
Yeah. And but then there's the other type of dreaming, the one that I have had, and he's talking about being shot, and it came back to me when I was 17. I moved out of state. I got out of high school early because I was so smart. Well, anyway,
sure.
I was. Anyway, I you know, went to Salt Lake City, Utah. My older sister was living there, and I wanted to just flee California, whatever. And anyway, I was having this reoccurring dream for like the past, from the time I was 15 or 16, on and on about how, you know, it's this typical dream. You're being chased, but someone had a gun, and it was like, so I don't know who the person was, but I know now, or actually I knew many years ago, I figured out in my view what it was, but I kept waking up right before I would be shot, and it was bugging me, and it was going on and on. So my older sister, she's a therapist, and it's time she was in college or something, this is a long time ago, she told me I should just let myself be shot and see what happens. So I guess that would be called lucid dreaming. So we could, well, anyway, I allowed it to happen, and interestingly enough, everything became so much, you know, that was, you know how you have these crossroads in your life, you know, when you're younger, uh-huh. You know, and everything. So I allowed myself just to let it happen. Instead of running from it, I allowed myself to be shot. And it was such a release. It wasn't like he was talking about what happened to him, and psychically speaking, where it happened, you know, later on where he was, you know. But for me, it was a spiritual death or a renewal or something like that.
So
but
it was symbolic to you.
Exactly. Then. And so that was a very, and I'll always remember that. And it was a long time because I'm kind of old now. Yes, it was. And I think that I was chasing myself with the gun. I think I was, you know, the way I look at it, I thought it was somebody else. I think I was chasing myself and to kill myself, you know, symbolically off to be able to come into a new beginning and that kind of thing. Now, that's just my point of view on this. But then there's the dreams about, you know, these psychic dreams, which have been very disturbing. One particular one, I don't like it, but I also always felt it was kind of cool when people could have these psychic dreams, but it's a lot of responsibility for the ones I had. It was too much for me to handle, and I'm glad I don't get my intuition doesn't come way through my dreams, because it was very disturbing, and it had to do with a plane crash that happened in Cerritos, and I saw the plane, I saw the name on the, it was awful, and the following day it happened. But that was the only time I've ever had something like that. And then my visitations from people, and that's fantastic. I love those dreams.
Those are very special. I think that that's the way that our spirits touch each other from different dimensions.
Yes, I do feel that. And like I had these, I think I've talked about it. I have two different friends that died 3 weeks apart when they were 38. Well, anyway, one's really like party, and she doesn't even know she's kind of not here anymore. And she's like a lot. I have a fun time in my dreams. The other one's stressed out. This guy, for every time he's everything's a stress, and it's like, okay, calm down. But you know, when my father died, I haven't had any dreams about him since. But the one dream I did have, it was really interesting. It's like, you know, the Stairway to Heaven and Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. He had just died a few days prior to that, and I was. I wasn't sleeping well, but I was trying to walk up the stairs with him, and he goes, "What do you think you're doing?" And I said, "I'm going up." He goes, "Oh no, you're not." And I said, "Oh yes, I am." He goes, "Maureen," he says, "you're not going anywhere." He goes, "I'll see." He goes, "This is not for you." And I was really trying to go up these stairs. Mm-hmm. It was a stairway. I don't know, obviously to heaven. I'm sure my dad's there, but I was arguing with him, and so that's the kind of dreams that are the most memorable, but. Psychically speaking, I'm perfectly okay with not having, you know, there's little tiny ones, but really intense, like, you know, those dreams of Medium, that show Medium, she used to have those, whatever. Mm-hmm. Those would be overwhelming for me. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's interesting what you said about, you know, we briefly said about your dad, you know, there's a lot of times when our clients or even people that we know, and they have a family member passes over and they wonder why they cannot dream of them. And like other people that are in the peripheral of their life can end up dreaming to them. In my theory on that, it's kind of like with my mother-in-law. I mean, nobody in the family has dreamt about her, but she came to me several times and had full conversations and stuff. I think sometimes that grief could block their visits. What do you think?
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because it's disturbing to me that you're right about that. And I think maybe you're absolutely right, because my sleep isn't very good either these days. And as well as I am in grief. But I think, you know, you bring a very good point, to that. Because I keep wondering, well, how come I can have these things for other, you know, I can for other people or feel energies around, but not even in the dream state, but you're right. And Bobby, it's not too late. I'm sorry. But Brenda, I'm glad you bring that up, because that's a good point, because it's very frustrating when you do this work. And that's been really bothersome to me. Well, I'm kind of getting through it, but it's been bothering me.
It's too close to you.
Absolutely. And I don't read for people that I'm emotionally attached to either. So, but it is a bothersome thing, because it is grief. You know, it's a grief thing. You're right.
Thank you, Maureen.
Welcome.
Now, Steve, have you experienced psychic dreams too?
Yes, quite a lot. I often have conversations with guides in dreams. I remember as a kid that the first time it happened, I woke up in the night and I'd had a really in-depth conversation with my main spirit guide, and it was so real. I can't really describe the sense of realness, but it was incredibly real. It was so beyond just a dream. I knew it was for real. And then as I got older, I asked if I could learn in my sleep. So I was studying a lot, but I wanted to learn about metaphysics and make good use of my sleep time. And I started to have really vivid dreams about being in lecture theatres, learning from spiritual teachers. And again, mm-hmm. they were really, really vivid. And I was learning things that I didn't know myself. But then when I would wake up, I could remember the lectures and I could remember what I was taught. And I often have precognitive dreams as well. So I do believe that when we are dreaming, we're very closely connected to spirit.
Did you ever get a name for your spirit guide? I know people always ask that. Do you know who it could be? Do you think it was somebody in your family, or do you think it was somebody completely like unknown to you?
My main spirit guide's name is Arthur, and from a number of different experiences, I am clear that he's Arthur Findlay. He was very involved in the spiritualist movement in the UK when he was here.
Right. I think a lot of us are familiar with Arthur Findlay. Well, that's fascinating. It's just fascinating. Well, thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Now, Bobby, have you ever experienced psychic dreams yourself?
Always, yeah. We want to know.
Tell.
Well, it's nothing out of the ordinary.
Something juicy.
No. We'll have to save that for the late show. It's nothing out of the ordinary. It's the same types of dreams about loved ones and things like that. Although I've never, it hasn't been. You know, I like Steve's dream. You know, it's really dramatic. I've never had any dreams with my guides that I can remember, and I kind of always believe, to a degree anyway, that you know it's those dreams that you can absolutely remember to this day that are the ones where you had contact with a loved one or spirit guide and things like that. But it seems to me that even if, as I'm saying that, it seems that there are dreams that I cannot remember where I have received information, you know, from a spirit guide. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels right when I say that, even mm-hmm. though I may not be able to remember something like that. But I love all the time, thinking about my dreams afterwards to find out what kind of message they have. They're either where you're at and what you're thinking or where you're headed, you know, and I kind of like doing that. So I do look forward to waking up in the morning, of course.
Do you do a dream diary? Have you ever done one?
I don't know. I've never done one.
It's hard to keep something like that up, you know?
It really is. I'm so not disciplined in that way. You know what I mean? Like, to just wake up in the morning, the first thing I'm thinking of is coffee. So, you know, I'd have a journal and you would have 3 pages of just coffee written on it. And so I'm stumbling in the morning just to get my coffee. I'm just not good about keeping journals and things like that. But like I say, I do, you know, during the first hour, maybe hour and a half before I completely wake up and start focusing on the day, or at least what I have coming up, I spend that hour preparing for my day, paving the way for the day, thinking about dream last night, what that meant, if there was anything there. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. just kind of waking up that way and, again, paving the road for the day And then after that, then I really do start just thinking about the day. In other words, if I've got an audition, lines I need to rehearse, or class that night, or just different things. So yeah, it's like I say, nothing really out of the ordinary. I've had some definitely dream. I remember a really high flying dream one time when I was flying, but I thought I was going to have a heart attack. My chest was, I was so scared. Because I hate heights, and or is that better said? I don't hate heights. I just don't like falling.
That's interesting. A lot of people have that whole the fear of heights thing. Yeah. It means something. I mean, I wonder what Freud would say about that. But you know, who cares about Freud? And he must have been a weirdo.
He would have had it with us, wouldn't he? If...
Yeah, he's Well, thank you.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Okay, back to you, Maureen. Do you incorporate dream interpretation with your readings?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I jump out of airplanes, Bobby, and it's going down is quite lovely. Okay.
I could not even you couldn't get me near. You couldn't give me enough booze to do that.
It's really. I find it's for me. It's a stress reducer. I mean, it's like I haven't gone at all yet to summer. Never mind. I want to go now. Anyway,
I've jumped out of a plane before.
But I mean, no. But I enjoy jumping out of a plane. I mean, I've done it.
It was still on the tarmac, and
no. I mean, I didn't just do it because it's on a bucket list. I mean, I do it because I enjoy it. So why would people do that if they're fearful of heights? I don't understand. See, that's something to dream about, Bobby.
Well, my dream reservation is full right now, but I'll put it on the list.
Well, you know what? I would suggest also when you guys are talking about, I know who wants to write down something when you're groggy and all that. But you know, my niece was doing. She was using her phone, and if she'd wake up from a dream, she would. And it's funny. I was listening to it. She's all groggy. She would record it on the phone.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Smart idea, huh? Yeah. And so, you know, like that happens when you wake up, and I was listening, it was working out, and everybody out there, it works. I mean, that way you don't have to, you know, write it down or whatever. And right when you wake up and you're thinking about it and you're groggy or whatever. But as far as it goes with, what did you ask me? Oh, do I use dream interpretation? I'm sorry, I kind of had to go veer into this detour. Yes, I do. I do sometimes. I mean, if someone, yes, and the way this is my thing as far as what I, you know, the dream dictionaries, I think, are just almost like, they're fun books to look at, just like your horoscope is in a newspaper. I think, you know, your guest brought some good things up. But I do feel that there's something about, I feel as far as, like my clients, if they're having some dream of some sort, I do interpret. Each individual person is different, but I do feel that it's like I do think a lot of people that are in dreams, in their dreams, are part of them, a part of our archetype. So I guess that's how I kind of view some dreams, depending on who the person is. But, you know, like I just kind of think that sometimes we're going, well, then there's this person in my dream and they're doing this to me. It's like I think it's a part of us or a part of them. So,
you ever dream about celebrities? Meeting celebrities?
No, you know, I never have. I can't say I never have. I don't remember. Well, there's only one person I've really always liked.
I totally have.
Well, I do bet all the time, and it's weird. Maybe because, I don't know.
I've done readings for them. I mean, I'll just admit, it was Brad Pitt and Angelina, and I was counseling them and coaching them. Yeah, totally.
Mary, don't adopt anymore. No.
He has a fabulous lifestyle. Bobby's a fabulous lifestyle.
A fabulous lifestyle of Bobby Marqueso.
Well, I'm through talking, Bobby. Take it on.
I was just joking. I just jumped in.
I like when you do that. And I wanted to...
Steve, have you ever dreamt about a celebrity?
Yeah, I've dreamt a lot about Brad Pitt. Not Angelina, though. She wasn't there.
I love Robert Downey Jr.
Okay.
I think she was with Bobby, probably.
Shut him down. Shut him down right now, Brenda.
We don't want details, but...
Brenda started saying she's always dreaming about those celebrities.
It's the weirdest thing, and ones that you wouldn't even think that you would even, like, you know, watch.
Actually, well, do you know what? It's really funny that you say that, because in all honesty, I keep on having dreams about Hillary Clinton, and I have these really vivid dreams about spending time talking with Hillary Clinton over dinner. And I always wake up and I'm always really blown away by how nice she is and how much she's interested in me and not so much interested in talking about herself.
But so what do you think that means, Steve? Do you think there's a reason for
I'm
that?
Just damn fascinating, Bobby. I think that's what it means.
Just damn fascinating.
He is. He's absolutely fascinating.
I think it means something is afoot with Hillary Clinton. And I don't know what it is. I haven't looked in detail at her astrology and things like that. But I feel like something very impressive is going to happen with Hillary Clinton. Because, again, I'm always really humbled by the fact that she comes across as so genuine when I have these conversations with her in the dream, and that she's so interested in other people rather than herself. So, I don't know. I think something significant will happen with Hillary Clinton.
You're going to take over her position? Is that what you're going to do?
No, it's really annoying, Maureen, but
I know.
These silly laws that you have in America, I could never be president or take up office like that, which I think is big shame for you.
Well, I can't either because I'm a fugitive. So
oh, you're a fugitive from the law? They wouldn't want me. I'm probably on an FBI list. No.
I've been trying to give away my identity. No. Steve, that's very fascinating, though. Absolutely. I'm going to watch that turn.
You should probably write down all that stuff. It'd be interesting to see what happens, you know? Yeah, what kind of stuff do you talk about with her?
Oh, me.
all about you.
Him and Brad.
I ask her about politics, yeah, and I say, have you got Brad's phone number?
Jeez.
I'm joking. I've always got Brad's phone number.
Well, let me know if I get Steven Tyler's.
We're fun. You guys are funny tonight.
We're always funny, Maureen.
Yeah, you're right.
It's funny.
Hey, Bobby, do you use dream interpretation in your work?
I do. You know, when people ask me certain questions, they like to tell me about their dreams, and I'm not an expert. Like, that isn't my, you know, field that I focus on. However, I find that using the abilities that we have, I can interpret dreams. You know, the dream has a vibration like everything else, doesn't it? And so you just interpret that vibration and come to find deeper or different types of meanings, or offer different types of meanings that the dreams could hold for a person, you know. It really helps to clear things up, doesn't it, when somebody has a dream that really disturbs them, and then I find that sometimes the information that comes through is like, so here's why you shouldn't be disturbed about this dream. It's not a bad thing. Here's what that really means. And people, it seems to click for people a lot. So yeah, I mean, dream interpretation is just part of, I think, everything it is that we do.
Oh, well, you know what? That's good that you brought that up, because really, as you start to talk to them, then they probably figure out their own dreams and what it means to them, you know?
Yeah, if you guide them in that right direction, ask them certain types of questions.
And that's the perfect way to do it.
That's fun. Absolutely.
Okay, well, it's time for the on-air readings. We've come to the part of the show that we'll be taking your calls and questions. You can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. However, we do have to take the call-ins first due to their wait time. The call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. Again, 724-444-4851. Please be aware that each call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. Please relax and listen to the show while you wait. Be very clear and direct with your question. And you know, we can really only take one question per reading, okay? So, Maureen,
yes.
You're first from South Dakota.
Thank you. Hello, South Dakota. Hello, South Dakota. I know South Dakota's there. I can feel it. Hello. Hello.
Oh, don't let us down, South Dakota. Now that's
don't this, let's not do it.
That's where I hail from now.
That's right. So it's when you're. This is all in. You're in cahoots, South Dakota, because it's not. Hello, this is Bobby. So.
What was that? An impression of Bobby.
He wanted a reading. Yeah, he wants a reading.
No, but I know South Dakota. Please come back. Well, I don't know. I feel that there's someone else called Alex. I'm joking. There's maybe, okay, well, South Dakota, I guess, is a little bit shy tonight, so.
I'll see who else is coming in here. Looks like someone says.
Around North Carolina.
Okay, North Carolina. Take the North Carolina.
Hi, this is North Carolina.
Hi, what's your name, please?
Sherry.
Hi, Sherry, how are you?
I'm good, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. I'm ready for you.
I'm just calling. I have my house is up for short sale, and it's been this long, drawn out, almost 2-year ordeal. And I was just wondering if you see that coming to closure.
Okay, so it's been up for sale, you said, for a year?
For 21 months.
Oh, okay. Oh, my gosh. Okay, this is, you know what's interesting? It looks like it looks like somebody, it doesn't look like there's people that are not interested, but it looks like they're not willing to pay the price.
I have no problem getting the offers. It's the bank that's causing the delay. The bank just drags their feet and then
okay.
The people end up
this is what I'm getting. I do feel that this is really burning you out too, but if there's any other complications, I'm feeling that there's some way for you to get through, like if the bank's holding, I know, I'm sure it could be a little bit more complicated what I'm trying to say, but it just looks like you need to get some rest on this one, and almost like there's some knowledge I see that you need to gain, and I do see that you can, it looks like October, I do feel that there would be a complete cycle will be completed with your home, and I do see you going away, go away, and I see you somewhere else. So, but it looks like the month of October, and like, which is actually pretty soon. But I mean, actually, we're already almost to the end of August. I like I said, but I do feel that it looks like you're gonna be really indecisive about something, and it's really not a good idea to be in that frame of mind. I know I'm not saying you can't help it, but I just feel that you're not getting. There's some knowledge you're missing, or you're not getting some insight that you need in order to. Bypass the bankage or whatever they're holding up or doing. It's like I just feel that there's some way for you to take more of a personal power, take it back into your own hands. And like I said, I don't know how to articulate it in the words, but I do feel that, I don't know, there's just something, Sherry, that you're missing that I think you just need to get a little bit more knowledge on something. But also, there is a little bit of a there's someone around you also I see that's a little bit of a manipulation, a troublemaker. And this person, it actually is just not, it's draining energy. Are you selling this by owner or are you using a realtor?
Broker? Using a realtor.
Well, I don't know. It's just like somebody
That would make sense. It would make sense. The realtor, I have to kind of stay on top of her. I think she's pretty much washed her hands of the situation.
The thing is, I feel that you could take it into your own. You're already exhausted from this whole thing as it is. I feel that you could do a benefit more so to have yourself take it as for sale by owner.
Okay.
It might be an idea.
Got it. Okay.
But I do see your indecision is not your friend. I think you should make a decision. But I do see it happening. I see a good timing in October for this home to be sold.
Okay, great.
I hope I helped you, Sherry. And thanks for calling in.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that was very nice, Maureen. Very informative. Okay, Bobby, we're going to try South Dakota again.
Let's try it. Hello. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. I already know that voice. What's going on? Hi.
I didn't know I was getting through. Well, what's going on? But my question, I guess, is I got a lot of family issues going on, and I'd like to get some input on it.
You got it. What can I do for you? What do you got for me?
Well, just a lot of family strife.
So I'm going to interrupt you just for a quick second on immediately what I'm picking up around that. I mean, when you say that, do you...
Uh-huh.
I'm going to get your perception of why there is strife. In other words, I know what you believe is happening right now with the family, but do you know why that you're seeing more and more strife in your family right now?
Not for sure, no.
Okay. Your direction is changing. Your life is changing. Your eyes are becoming more open. You've done a lot of growing up in the past year and a half, 2 years. And
okay. What
happens is some of the things that you vibrated on before that you wouldn't notice, now all of a sudden you're rising above and it's more noticeable. In other words, your eyes are opening and you're seeing more things that don't jive with your current vibration, where you're at right now. And so
okay. More
and more things are going to appear to happen. When really your family, now this is what you're talking about, this kind of strife that's taking place now is a little bit more busy than it has been, but pretty much it's always been like this. You know what I mean? So, but you're right, it's more so now, but it's pretty much always been this way. You're just noticing it more. That's all.
Okay.
Because you're noticing something more doesn't mean that there's more of it to notice. It just means that it's sometimes the same thing. It's like being downtown LA, all of a sudden waking up, you know, and you're like, oh my God, look at all the traffic. Well, guess what? The traffic's always been there. You're just now realizing it and becoming more annoyed. And you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it does.
So.
All right.
You know, you are still, when I take a look at you, you're still, from speaking to you in the past as well, you're still on this escalation. In other words, your momentum is still up, moving forward. Very great.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you're still really rocketing, and that's good. And so you're just going to know a lot more of this. But what you have to learn to do is to pull back so much from trying to make it better in the family.
Okay. All right.
Because that's really going to pull at you a lot. You see what I mean? I think that's part of the pull now. Was there something different that you wanted to ask me? We have just like another minute or so here, but was there something different you wanted to ask me other than what I just said?
Not too much, really. I guess, you know, that kind of answers my why. You know, it's more of a perception thing on my part. I mean, without going into a whole lot more detail, that does pretty much answer it.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I just, you know, like you say, it's a perception thing as far as why all of a sudden, and the way that I'm viewing it is, you know, it's like the, you know what, hit the fan, and, you know,
right.
It's not so much that really anything changed. It was, you know, my perception, and now I don't want to go back, you know, because in the past I would have said, okay, you know, all right, I'll go back to the way things were and smooth things over, and I don't want to do that.
Oh, and you even know? More so, you don't want to do that now. Like, you're feeling it, you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, oh, God, it
yeah.
just seems like a huge effort now. And those
yeah.
are the two things that will pull you down. One, noticing what's taking place with everybody, and secondarily, trying to fix it or wanting to change it, or because it's so obvious to you. Like, how can you people not see what is going on? And the more and more that you grow spiritually, the more you're going to realize that these people just they can't see it. You know what I mean? Like, again, it's going to
yeah.
become more obvious to you what the answer is, and they just won't be able to see it. So it can become more and more frustrating unless you let that part go of wanting to change it or wanting them to see it. Then, I mean, you have to
okay.
completely let go of that, because it'll really slow your progress and drag you down.
Okay. Well, that's good that you said that, because, yeah, my frustration level is pretty high as far as, you know, thinking exactly like what you're saying is, you know, God, why can't they see this? You know, why? And I knew that it wasn't, you know, because I can't change them. It's the change has got to be me.
Right.
So letting
and you
go
are already changing. That's why you're frustrated
piece.
And see what you see. So you don't have to
yeah.
change you. You're already changing automatically. But yes, you just want to, I mean, we want to change our reaction to what's going on, obviously. So you just have to calm down. Mm-hmm. That. Calm the hell down is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, buddy.
Well, I mean, that helps. That does. It really does.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Listen, I'm glad you called in, and I'm glad you got me.
I know it. Me too.
It's like a psychic roulette around here, so you never know who you're going to get. But I'm glad. I'm happy. It was good to talk to you, man.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you in this fall then, too, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be there.
Excellent. All right. Well, we'll talk to you then.
All right, James. See you, man.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you, Bobby.
You're welcome.
For those pearls of wisdom.
Yeah, you know.
All in a day's work, blah, blah. Okay, Steve from Wisconsin.
Thank you. Who's calling from Wisconsin?
Hello, Duana.
Your name's... I didn't
My name is Duana.
Okay, how can I help?
Yes, I was just wondering, the relationship that I'm in right now, I was just wondering if it's a good one, if it's one that I should stay in, and if this guy is even right for me at all.
Okay. You know, whenever anyone asks me this question, before I even go psychic and ask my guides, when a person asks this question, logically it rings alarm bells, because I believe passionately that we know whether or not we're happy in a relationship. And if we have to ask these questions, then it means that at some level something is not right and we have some doubts about the relationship. Do you see where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
So you need to consider that. Now, as I tune in and ask my guides about the relationship, I feel that there's frustration in the relationship, particularly relating to finances and work. So it doesn't feel to me that the balance of contribution financially and in terms of effort associated with work, that doesn't feel right in this relationship. That doesn't, it's not catastrophic. It doesn't mean that that's something that can't be fixed. But that's what I feel in the first instance. I feel that that's the core of frustration. Does that make sense to you?
You're saying that the cause of frustration is financially and work-related?
It feels as though that's contentious, yes.
Yes, we work together.
We work together. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, I feel that that's a big part of the problem. I feel that there's tension associated with work, and it spreads into finances as well. I feel that you can be happy together, that you can have a good relationship. I don't, as I tune into it, I don't feel anything catastrophic. It's a question of how connected you feel and how compatible you feel. But I feel that there's frustration on both sides. And again, I don't feel that dynamic around work is necessarily functioning well. I don't feel that you have the level of independence that you need to really appreciate each other when you're together. Do you see what I mean?
Right. Yes, I understand what you're saying. Because I'm wondering, because, like, I'm kind of confused in the relationship that I'm in. Yes, we work together. Yes, you know, there's financial type things that are going on with both of us right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, you know, like, is his feelings mutual with mine the way I feel for him?
I feel that he cares for you. I feel that he definitely has feelings for you. I don't feel that that's the issue.
Okay.
I don't feel that there's a lack of love.
What's that?
I don't feel a lack of love on his part. I feel a lack of effort. And
yes.
I don't feel that you're having enough fun in the relationship. It feels heavy, and that's probably to do with the finances and the work collaboration. I do feel that he has financial concerns, and that's a big part of the issue with him at the moment. But I don't feel a lack of love for you. I do feel that he has feelings for you.
Okay, that makes sense. Do you feel there's anybody else in, that he's involved with besides me in the relationship?
I don't feel that. I don't feel it. But I can say to you, logically and based upon experience working with many, many people, that if you have that concern, that's a big issue in itself.
Well, I want to say something. I found something out that when he kind of pulled away from me for a little bit and he had some health issues that went on afterwards. But before that issue, before that, so there was a woman that I confronted, and she had said that she was with him. So that, well, and I'm wondering if she's still part of the picture at all.
I don't feel that he's involved with someone else, but obviously it's something you need to address with him. We need to move on because we spent more than 5 minutes with you, but I don't feel that, but I feel that it's a conversation you should have with him because you've definitely got concerns and that's something you should discuss. Okay.
Okay. You made a lot of sense. And I thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure. Take care.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, the next call is from California. For me, California. Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
What can I do for you today, this evening?
Well, I've been having a rough couple of months with I've really been broken down, you know, due to car total, losing job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yet, I still feel something is big on the horizon. So it's keeping me from giving up. And I'm wondering if I am correct with that assumption.
Well, let's take a look here. You know, sometimes it's darkest before the light. And the very first card I pulled up was a... Can you hear me?
I'm just hoping it's not a train.
No. The very first thing that I pulled up was the Wheel of Fortune. So things are going to turn in your favor. It's like the pendulum swings the other way. You have had a lot of conflict. It almost feels like you've been overwhelmed by lots of stuff. And, you know, it's now your signal to throw that off because... it's about you consciously taking control of what's going on around you. And sometimes we get lazy and we just kind of sit back and let things happen around us. But now I feel that you're going to have a really good opportunity to turn things around. I really feel that by the end of this month, you know what? You're going to look back on this and say, boy, I can't believe I was in that position because it's such, you know, it's the opposite now. I really feel you're going to have a victory with a career that you feel very close to and in your heart. It could even make a change to something that you're really, you know, very much, you know, I see creative energy around it. I feel that there's good news with that. It's the birth of something big. And it's about 3 weeks away. So it's right around the corner, honey. And you know, a lot of times we psychically feel these things too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've been feeling that. It's the only thing that's been keeping me from, I guess, jumping off that cliff per se, is because I truly felt, hold on, because there's something big, like a big tidal wave coming your way, but it's good.
It is. You've seen the worst of it, and look for good news within 3 weeks. It looks like an opportunity that you've been waiting for. And the reason why this other stuff didn't work out is because it wasn't supposed to. You're supposed to get this new opportunity that's coming. Yeah.
Oh, terrific.
Okay, well, thank you.
So hold on for 3 more weeks. Right?
That's right. Hold on, honey.
Oh. Okay, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, thank you.
Maureen.
Yes.
You have a reading for we do not know where yet, but you have
Indiana, I think. Indiana. Hi, Indiana. Thank you, Brenda. I'm sorry for June.
It's okay.
Hi, Indiana. Hello, Indiana.
Hi.
Hi. May I have your name, please?
It's Leah.
Leah? Hi, Leah. And yes. what can I help you with?
Tell me I'm not going to go to a Blake Shelton concert by myself.
Oh, it's you in there. I noticed what you said. You know, Leah, there's no way I can. There's no way I see you going. In fact, no. You look like like it's around you right now. It looks like you're going to be extremely happy. I don't know this concert. I think I did see that it's coming up soon, but
tomorrow.
I see you going, and I see you going. I see you going. It's fantastic. You look very happy. It's like a feeling of it's almost like a feeling of the childlike feeling with before all this stuff in our head makes us not do things or go after things. You have someone particularly. There's somebody. No, you're not going alone, but I suggest you don't just sit there and focus on laws of attraction and in your mind this is what you who you want or what you need to make it happen deliberately. And I do get that you know what? I don't know who is going to go with you, but I do feel that somebody that is going to go with you feels like they're very it looks like there's family around them or something like that, but it looks like you're going to have a great time. And also somebody that might have relocated before or recently that you might be going with, this particular person. No, you're not going to go alone. You're not going to want, you don't want to do that. I mean, everything I'm telling you already know anyway, but I do get somebody that's maybe relocated and I know you're going to have a great time, really good time. And you want to go traditionally. I don't think you want to go alone. That's the bottom line. So,
no, I don't. I don't.
Yes, you're not going to. You're not going to go alone. But I do feel that somebody that may have moved away or relocated that will be that would come back, not too far, but that would someone you know of. But they feel like there's. I don't know. It it's very positive. But I say you ought to make that happen. You know, okay. Don't just sit there and wait for someone to call you and then decide that a lot of people do that. That doesn't work. The laws of attraction.
No. I wasn't counting on winning the tickets, and then when I won them, I'm like, oh.
I think that's fantastic. I read that. I'm clapping for you because that's so cool. And how great is that? No, I think that I see you going in a conventional, traditional sense with some, and somebody else will be going with you. Absolutely. And you look like you're going to have a great time. Really a great time.
Okay.
Okay. So have fun.
Okay. Oh, I will.
Okay. Thanks,
sure.
Leah. Bye bye.
Thanks, Maureen.
Is Blake married? Maybe she. Do you see her hooking up with him? Maybe at all.
I don't want to get into the marriage stuff. Okay.
Bobby, you're up from Michigan, honey.
Michigan. Hello, Michigan. Or
hello.
Not. Hi. Who's this?
Hi, this is Kay. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Thanks. What would you like to talk about?
I'd like to know what you're seeing for my financial situation.
Okay. I take it it's non-existent right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty crappy.
Okay, that's what I'm seeing. Thank you for calling. No, I'm kidding. What, this debt, is it true that whatever it is that you're in here wasn't all created by you? Are you still with me?
I think you took her off the air.
She laughed and she said, "You rat bastard," and hung up the phone. That was
you scared the hell out of her. And I'm kidding.
Oh yeah, that laugh that she had really sounded like she was scared.
Oh.
We lost her. Oh no. Maybe we'll just do a quick. Do we wait till she calls back, or do I finish my thoughts?
We finish your thought. She might still be listening.
Hopefully, if she's still listening, and then if not, she can always go back to the archive too, I guess. So I guess I was picking up on that some of the debt that she's in wasn't exactly created all just by her. In other words, somebody else had kind of a hand in that and then just kind of left her, and now she's got to clean all this up, and she just keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And I think it primarily because she's not taking control of the situation. In other words, this isn't my fault. This keeps happening. It's, if it weren't for them, I wouldn't be in the place I'm in now. And meanwhile, all of that is just continuing to dig the hole deeper. So her as a person, I can't remember what she said her name was, but you as a person, if you were to grab this thing by the horns, I have no doubt that you could take care of it, get rid of it, and be completely out from under and start getting yourself where you need to be. It's just that there's still a blame or still feeling like this isn't my fault type of thing that, that keeps falling on this. And so as long as you have that, it will continue to go deeper. But you as a person, again, the way that you approach things, the way that you attack things and take care of things, if you did that, forget about who's right or wrong or who did this or who didn't do it, grab it by the horns and then take care of it like you need to. And then you'll start cleaning it up within, I would say, probably at least 6 months. There's no reason why you couldn't get a lot of this cleaned up and start making some really good headway on it. So there you go.
Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Steve, North Carolina.
Hi.
Steve? North Carolina.
Do you want me to go for it?
Yeah, I guess okay. We can't get Steve in.
Okay, well, hi, North Carolina. This is Maureen.
Hi.
Hi, and who am I speaking to?
Catherine.
Hi, Catherine. And how can I help you?
I have a question about my current relationship, like where it's going, and I have some questions about the guy I'm with. Like,
okay. Well, I can, you know, because of our time restraint here on the show, I can only do one question because we have so many calls. So, do you want to, and for me to help you the best way I can for the time? Go on.
It was just one question. I'm just trying to specify a little bit.
Okay, so you're asking me where you're standing and where you're going in your relationship.
Yeah.
You're in right now. Got it. Okay. It's really a hard place to be in that situation. I know that in the first place. You know, this is my feeling. Something has got to change here. I do feel that I can see that you're very strongly connected, profoundly so. I don't know what you want to call soulmate. Go ahead. I mean, whatever word you want to use, but the situation I'm picking up on is one of those connections that can be very short. You can short circuit each other out. And I do feel that he needs to grow up. Okay. There's a lot of useless sacrifices around this relationship. Useless meaning I'm talking about Jesus getting nailed to the cross, but he got to resurrect. That's useful sacrifice. Useless is painful, but you don't get resurrection. So I feel that he's needing to find his way. And it looks like you don't want to wait. You're not waiting around, but I do feel that there's, I see a short trip coming up and I would definitely go for it, but it's like things aren't what you, everything that you wish and desired isn't coming about how you thought it would be with this situation with him. I didn't get his name, but I do feel that he's capable of getting or sorting himself out. But I do feel also that it has a lot to do with your boundaries, and I feel that you're strong enough to keep boundaries with him. So if you want to keep everything the same, then and the, whatever things are going on, then don't change anything. But I would suggest not doing that because I feel that you have more to gain by keeping your really clear about what you don't want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And by doing that, I know people go, well, I run the risk of him leaving. No, you run the risk of him showing that he's going to make an effort because there is something about his mixed detachment and going, and I don't know what the deep situation is or if he's available or not married, whatever. But the bottom line is, I do see, though, a nice short trip coming up, and that will be very nice within the next 6 weeks, I feel, some getaway. But I think that you need to really be strong and hold and stand strong with this, not to play games, but just because it's fair that way. He does see you in a good way, but he needs to sort himself out and get it together. Okay?
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, thank you. I hope I helped you. Thanks for calling.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Maureen.
Sure.
Steve!
Thank
are you there?
Oh, yes.
Arizona.
Thank you. Who's calling from Arizona? Hello, Arizona.
Oh.
Hello, what's your name?
What?
What's your name? Can you hear me okay? Hello, Arizona, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, what's your name?
My name's Yolanda.
Yolanda, how can I help?
I'd like to know if this is a good place right now where I am to do my holistic coaching business. Is it a good place to board the drive and grow?
Let me see. I feel, Yolanda, that you are on the right track in terms of your goals, your professional goals, but the cards are saying, and my feeling is, that you're not in the right location. But I don't feel that you should stress about that and start looking for another location. My guides are saying, just get to work, get focused on creating your business, doing your work, and you will see that as you focus on that, opportunities to be in another location will just come to you. So my guides are saying really clearly that you're on the right path, you are not in the right place for the longer term, but you don't need to do anything just now. Allow spirit to show you over time where would be the right place. I feel that you will move in about 18 to 20 months, but as I said, I don't feel that you need to worry about it. I don't feel you need to do anything about it other than just get focused on your work. Okay?
Okay.
Great. Good luck to you, Yolanda. Sounds very interesting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Okay, I'm next from North Carolina. Hi, North Carolina.
Hi.
What can I help you with this evening?
Well, I know my life is going in the right path because I can definitely feel it. It's been a long, hard road. And there's a guy that I've been seeing for about 3 months, and everybody tells me he's definitely the one. He's kind of had a rough week, some really bad losses in his life. We've been kind of, I feel him pulling away, and then I feel him coming on strong, and then he pulls away, and I want to know. I'm going to be patient with him because he's going through a hard time. I'm definitely not a pushy person, but I want to know if I'm doing the right thing, or should I just kind of move on? And then there's this other little guy in the picture, too, that I like, too, but I really want to know if this other guy is going to be the one I should wait around for.
Well, one of the things that I see here is that this is a test of the feelings and dedication between the two of you. And I don't feel that this is horrendous, the stuff that he's going through. And it's not going to last. It feels like, you know, one of the things that I'm seeing right around the end of this month is that he's going to get things tied up, and I feel there could even be some legal things that he gets tied up that will, you know, he'll be able to throw off a lot of the stuff that's been happening and focus more on the relationship again. He's told you to wait, hasn't he?
No. But he makes himself very present in the fact where it's like, I want you to wait, but then he'll pull back and then he'll come back real strong again.
That's all because of he gets wrapped up in all this stuff that he's, you know, having to deal with. And I see finances on it. I see some legal stuff. I see all that kind of stuff, all ball of wax. But if your question to me, is he worth waiting for? It feels like he's going to be present in your life. I feel there's a karmic path between the two of you. And if you switch horses in midstream, you may lose this. You may lose out.
Okay. So
yeah,
you see long term?
Patience.
You see long term?
Pardon me?
Hello?
Yes.
You see long term?
I feel this is a long term. I feel you're being tested. I feel that this is long term. He's not going anywhere. He really isn't. He's had to deal with some things, but it's a good thing he's dealing with them now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, then I'll just continue to be patient.
Okay, honey.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Bobby, this is the last call from North Carolina.
Okay, North Carolina, hi. We're having a rough time tonight, aren't we? Mm-hmm. North Carolina. Carolina, and then, oh, they hung up. See, I scared him before I even said anything.
Oh, you, well, you're batting like...
That's a talent.
Yeah.
I can just think it.
It's a gift.
It's a gift.
It's a gift.
It's really... It's very awkward when we're doing in-person readings because, you know, they run screaming from the room. And
well, okay. Well, then I guess this brings us to the end of our wonderful show. Another wonderful show. Let's give a big thanks to Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to all my co-hosts for joining me tonight. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Brenda. It was a great show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brenda.
Oh, you know, next week's show is anchored by Steve. Am I correct?
Yes, it is.
What do you have planned for us next week, Steve?
One of your favorites, tarot.
Oh, yay.
Yes, yeah. It's going to be a really good show. The guest we have is Grace, that we had with us some time ago, a number of months ago, and she talked about astrology, but she has enormous knowledge about the history and the messages of tarot, so it will be a lot of fun.
Oh, we can't wait. That is going to be another fascinating subject. Okay, well, I guess that wraps it up, everybody. Good night.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.